Acts chapter 17, and we're going to read in just a moment, beginning in verse number 10. And I'd like to speak to you today on this subject, being an intentionally rooted man, an intentionally rooted man, from Acts chapter 17. Someone said, God's gift to you is your potential, and your gift to God is what you do with that potential, whether or not you become the man of God that He has designed you to be. And I want to speak to you as men today, because I truly believe it's time that many of us reach the potential that God intends for us to reach. No longer being a tumbleweed Christian just floating around, blowing in the wind. No longer being a man that just kind of is hit and miss. But being a man of God, reaching the potential that God intends us to reach. And I want to speak to you from the Bible about a church that really reached its potential, the church at Berea. And I want you to see why they were a people who were rooted and grounded, and why they became a great church in the first century. And I believe that our church, frankly, is yet to reach its potential. A lot of people talk about Lancaster Baptist Church, and this is a wonderful church. God's done some great things, but I don't think we have yet seen what God wants to do at Lancaster Baptist Church. I don't believe you have not yet to see what God wants to do in your life, in your family life. And I don't know about you, I just believe the best is yet to come. But we have got to determine today that we're going to be rooted and grounded in Christ. It's a decision that you must make. It's not a decision I can make for you. It's not a decision that Dr. Getz should make for you. But every one of us today determining to be a man of God, rooted and grounded in Christ. And so notice in Acts 17 and verse number 10, for our scripture reading for just a moment, and we'll read down just for the sake of time to verse number 11 and get right into this. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul was on his second missionary journey in the mid-50s A.D. He was planting churches. He had already seen the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica established, and now he comes to the city of Berea, and he will there again, by the grace of God, see a church established. These churches, as they were established because people readily received the Word of God, and they were intentionally becoming rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word intentional means to take a deliberate action. And I want to challenge you as men today to take deliberate action. And throughout the course of the last 52 weeks, I had many great victories. Men that were saved, men that got right with God, men whose marriages were put back together. But also many men, and in fact, most men in this room will struggle from time to time with their thoughts, and many men struggled and fell backward in their thought life and fell backward in their marital life, and some in their financial life, and some with alcohol. And many times we see that men today are allowing the women to take the spiritual leadership in the church. The women do the praying. The women do the singing in the choir. You look at the choir, it's mostly women. The women do the giving. The women teach the Sunday school classes. And I'm saying here this morning that it is time in America, yes, California, yes, churches, yes, but in this church, for some men to get rooted and grounded in Christ. I'm talking about not just manning up, I'm talking about in the Spirit of God becoming a man who stands for Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you today about being a man, and about being a man of God, and about being a father, and about being the leader of your home. Because too often times in America today, men are spiritually wimps. We have to call you and remind you to go to Sunday school. We have to beg you to come to the revival meeting. We have to set up little charts to remind you that it's time to tithe. We have to remind you that it's really important to take your wife out on a date. And I'm saying today, men, it's time to say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to be a tumbleweed Christian blowing in the wind. I'm going to get rooted in Christ so that the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life are a normal part of my life. Say, well, I don't like being spoken to this way. We haven't even gotten started this morning. And you don't want to walk out in the middle of this because I've already described the type of men that are going to be outside this morning. Now, I want to speak to you today from the church of Berea, from the book of Acts chapter 17, about the characteristics of a man that gets rooted in Christ. What kind of man are we talking about today? And by the way, I'm going to give you a lesson, and then at the end, I'm going to give you a challenge. There's going to be an application to this. This isn't just going to be a pep rally. This is going to be a time to make some decisions about being a man rooted in Christ. A man that says, I'm done with low living. I'm done with compromising. I'm done with just hit and miss in my Christian life. I want to be a man that's all in, a man that's a part of the work of God. What kind of men were they at Berea? I want you to take note. First of all, they were reliable men. Reliable men. And I think here in terms of the Apostle Paul in particular. The Bible says in verse number 10, "And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now, I want you to see that Paul was a man who always had a predictable routine about his life. He had a predictable routine. Paul's routine was always the same everywhere he went from city to city. He went, first of all, into the town. He would go immediately to a synagogue, and there he would preach Christ. He would then preach to the Gentiles. He would see people saved. He would see them baptized. He would see them organized into a local church. Then persecution would come, and he would often go to the next city and start the next church. And it was something like this. There would be prayer and power and preaching and persecution. Prayer, power, preaching, persecution. And then he would go to the next city, and he would pray, and God would give him power, and he would preach. But the thing I want you to remember about Paul, he was always predictable. He always went to the synagogue. He always preached Christ. He always was a man you knew exactly what he was going to do. He was going to get to the heart of the matter. He was going to preach Christ. He was a man who had a very predictable routine. Now, I want to challenge you to be men this year who have some predictable routines. I'm talking about your daily routine. I'm saying predictably as you take a shower in the morning, that you read the Word of God in the morning. I'm saying be predictable. I'm saying be predictable in the routines of your life as it pertains to several areas. Let me give you a few areas in particular, and I've listed them in your notes. Number one, I want to challenge you this year to be reliably predictable in your personal walk with God. The Bible says in Mark 1:35, "And in the morning rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Jesus, our Lord Jesus, was predictable. And the Apostle Paul was predictable. And we need to be men who are predictable. Would be to God that some teenagers growing up in your homes would wake up in the morning and maybe see where you have been reading the Word of God and see the Word of God open to the next page and the next page, and that just predictably, Dad is a man of the book. He's a man of the Bible. Listen, this idea of your wives having to get some of you to church needs to stop. It ought to be predictable that you say, "Sweetheart, now don't forget, we need to leave tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow's church. Boys and girls, tomorrow's church. And we're not going because Brother Butterfield called or Brother Furso called, but we're going because we are men rooted in Christ." Just predictable as we can possibly be, being predictable in our spiritual life. Some of you say, well, some of you, if you're not, and by the way, you don't need to complain to your wife, the pastor really preached to you. Some of you say, man, well, what does pastor think? Does he just think I'm just a terrible man? Does he think I'm not spiritual? You know, I can go to church every once in a while and just be a great spiritual man. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you what I think about every one of you. I'll tell you right now, every one of you shouldn't trust yourself. I think we're all rotten. I mean, Paul said, "In me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Apart from the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, gentlemen, we're not going to have any good thing happen this year. That's why predictably we need to get to the Word of God. "For the Word of God cleanseth us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word." And I'm telling you many times, if you would just read a proverb a day, God would spare you from trouble. God would give you wisdom. I'm saying predictably, get to the Word of God. Secondly, in our family leadership, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. I had a wedding here yesterday morning in the other auditorium, and we had a sweet little young man standing right here and a sweet little gal right here, and I spoke to her about submitting to him. I spoke to him about leading her, and there's just something inside of her, I'm sure, that was saying, go ahead and give her a try. As sweet and submissive as she probably is, did you know there will be some times when that leadership's going to get tested? And if you're married, yours is going to get tested sometimes. And I'm not speaking today about being a male chauvinist pig. I'm not speaking today about being unkind or belligerent. But I am speaking about providing an example that your family can follow. Being the leader of your home. Oh, listen, some of you, it'd be a wonderful thing this week if your wife got a husband that was a new man. A husband that delighted in the Lord. A husband, had a man just walking into this room. He said to me, Pastor, I just want you to know, I quit smoking. And then he said this to me, as I was kind of in a hurry trying to get in here. He said, in fact, I've quit almost everything. Amen. By the way, he just got saved, and when you just get saved, you need to quit almost everything. Amen. Some of you quit almost everything, but some of you have gone back and picked up a little bit of it. And I'm saying it'd be a wonderful thing if your wife says, I don't know what came over him. It seems like he's getting rooted in Christ this year. He's kinder to our family. He's wanting to have more meals together. He tells me he loves me. You ought to tell your wife you love her often in front of your children. And the way to raise young men is not yelling and screaming at them all the time. Spending time with them and loving your family. And I mean being predictable about your family. Number three, I think we ought to be predictable in our church faithfulness. In our church faithfulness. I'm saying in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And 6 or 7 weeks ago, God told me to get you men together and provoke you to love and good works. And to challenge you in the matter of being men of God. Dr. Bobby Robertson said to our church years ago, be a man that's in your place. Be predictable. Be in your place. I think of Brother Thomaston who came and spoke to me yesterday. I've mentioned this a few times, and he sat in my office Friday, rather, and he said, I can't be there at church. I'll be in Washington, D.C. I want to be accountable to you as my pastor, as my shepherd. I want you to know where one of your flock is going. By the way, you see, I can't always get a hold of the pastor. That's why we have Sunday school teachers. There's no free agent members of the church. You say, well, I'd rather be in a church where I have a rock and roll band, and if I don't show up, they won't notice me. You in the wrong church, buddy, because this doesn't have a rock and roll band, and we do notice. We're a body, fitly joined together. And the fact of the matter is, it ought to be a compliment to you that somebody would care that you're not here. I don't want to go to a church where I can miss and no one cares. It's a blessing. But I'm just saying right here and right now, Brother Bill said, I want to be accountable. I want to let you know, Pastor, I'm not going to be around for a couple of days. I got a business trip. And he said, I know you're having a meeting for the men. What is Brother Bill's position out there, Brother Tierney, at the base? I don't know. Chief Master Sergeant, he's a man with some authority, correct? You know what I know about men who have some authority? Listen, they know how to come under authority. I remember years ago going out to Edwards Air Force Base, come to think of it, I went into the home of an E-4 in the Air Force, and I don't know a lot about the rank, but that's just starting out, right, men? Just starting out, right? Compared to the general, he's just starting out. And I went in there, and I was talking to this young man about the Lord and about church and so forth. And he got kind of blistery with me. He said, well, I'll tell you right now, I am not going to go to some church where someone's going to try to tell me all kinds of stuff, what I have to do, when I have to be. There ain't nobody going to tell me that kind of stuff. And I can't force him to get saved or go to church or be a better husband. I said, well, thank you for letting us in your home. God bless you. And try to encourage him to come. My next visit was Colonel Rhodes, the base commander. I sat down with the base commander. I determined through discussing with him that he had been saved but never baptized. And I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you. I said, the Bible says that as a saved man, the next step in your life is that you need to get baptized. And I said, you need to come into a church, get baptized, come under the authority of that church, have a shepherd in your life that can guide and direct your family. And said some things like that. The next Sunday morning, he came in, walked the aisle after I preached that Sunday morning. What was his name, Brother Tierney? I can't remember his name. The base commander. Colonel Rhodes. He walked, this is exactly what he said. He said, Pastor Chapel, my wife and I are here today to be baptized in this Baptist church and to come under the authority of you as our pastor and our under-shepherd. Now, I know there's some people thinking, well, that's over the top. You know, what is this? You know, some kind of brain control? No, it's just scriptural body life. It's just a man godly enough to say, I'm a man under authority. I know how this works. I want to come under some spiritual authority because I need some teaching and some preaching and some leadership and some guidance in my life. And I understand people don't want that today. But listen, the culture is rebellious. And many times we get rebellious. You don't want someone to, hey, you ought to get to church on Monday. But the fact is, we need to hear that in our spiritual lives. And I understand the flesh doesn't want to be reminded, but we need that reminder. And I'm saying in our church faithfulness, we ought to say, I'm all in. And Bill Thomason came in to my office Friday, and he said, Pastor Chapel, he said, I want you all to be in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. I know you're having a meeting with the men, but this is what I want to tell you. I want to tell you, whatever it is, I'm all in. And I'm saying this, I'm telling you this as your pastor. I'm all in. You don't want a pastor, by the way, who's sort of in. If you knew how many pastors call me in a week asking if I know of a church that I could recommend them to. Little does their congregation know, they're not even all in when they stand up to preach Sunday morning. And I'll tell you this morning that in 25 and a half years, I have never one time made a call anywhere trying to find out if there's some other something else somewhere. And by the way, I've had very few calls wanting me somewhere else. I'll tell you why. I've let it be known. I'm all in at Lancaster Baptist Church. And fellas, that ought to be the way we live. That we're all in. I'm saying in our church. Let me say, number four, in our friendships. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Every one of you men work with perverts. Ungodly men. Cursing men. And by the way, you ought to love them, and you ought to witness to them. So, oh, Pastor Chapel, we can't say anything at work because you know, the laws and the ACLU. Now, you can't sit up on a soapbox, and you should not rob your employer's time, but there's a way. There's a way to have a testimony. They let you know what they do on the weekend. Huh? Go ahead and set them up. Hey, Joe, what'd you do? Oh, I went to Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, idiot. What happens in Vegas stays on Facebook. And then they'll ask you, and you say, oh, man, went to a revival meeting. You know what that preacher said yesterday? He said that my sin offends God. Wonder if anything in Vegas offends God, Joe. Now, you work with men like that. I understand that. But you know, in your Christian friendships, in these men in this room, those men in your Sunday school class, be a friend that sharpens somebody. You be the guy that says, hey, let me know if you need any help this year. Let me know how, if you want me to encourage you in your Bible reading this year, or hey, wasn't that a good lesson? You know, the fact is we're in revival. I'm doing everything I can to get folks involved in not just attending, but experiencing revival of the heart. But you know, we all can be involved in this. Listen, tonight in church, those of you that are in the next service, when Brother Getch is preaching, we can listen, we can smile, we can say to the guy near us, well, that was good, wasn't it? Boy, don't forget tonight. It doesn't have to just be the pastor doing that. We can be good friends one to another to encourage each other in that. Best friends I have in my life have never said a dirty joke to me. They don't speak evil about church to me. They don't discourage me. They encourage me in the things of God. Be a reliable, predictable friend. Notice that Paul was predictable in his routine. He was predictable in his message. Look in your notes at Acts 17, 2, and notice what it says. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Notice the phrase, as his manner was. I'm just trying to tell you right now, he was a reliable man. Amen. His manner was that he was going to talk about Jesus. And I think it ought to be just reliable. And what a tragedy in America that with Christian men many times, that no one really knows they're a Christian. Fellas, you're not in the Secret Service. You're in God's service. You're not a senior airman. You're not a colonel. You're not a doctor. You're not a police officer. You're not a construction worker. You are the servant of the living God. That other stuff pays your check. It pays your food bill. It takes care of things like that. It helps us support missionaries. That's your vocation. But our calling is that all of you men are the servants of the living God. And we need to live that way. You need to walk into work tomorrow not as a holier than thou, but as a man who recognizes you are sent from God to that place. You're the light. You're the man that God wants to be different in that place, to be reliable, to be predictable in that way. And so Paul was a reliable man. Men in your Sunday school classes this year, listen to me, be reliable. If you're going to miss class, let your teacher at least know. And listen, you're either moving in, all in, or you're slipping back right now. You're either thinking this year, how can I get more rooted? How can I get grounded in Christ? How can I be faithful? Or are you thinking, how can I just kind of cut back and still be friendly, but just kind of cut back? And I'm going to tell you right now, I want to press on the upward way. Listen, Jesus is coming. You've got to take some days off. Some of you guys are near retirement. You've got to figure out how to pace yourself. I'm understanding some of those things in those seasons of life. But let me tell you what my job is. My job is to get all of us ready for that day when we stand before Jesus Christ. And that we'll hear those words, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Paul was a reliable man. Notice secondly, though, at Berea. Let's now look at the men themselves there. They were secondly receptive men. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now notice these men had receptive minds. They embraced this preaching. They received the word of God. Now think about this revival meeting. And men, the way to come to the revival meeting is look at, get in a bit early. Come in tonight and pray a minute. Find your spot. Get in your pew. Get your Bible open. The Spirit ought to be, come on, Brother Getch. Lord, I need this. Help me to have this. I want this. Don't be the type of a guy that we feel like we have to entertain. We feel like we have to wake up. And you know, sometimes it's okay to have fun at church. I love to have fun at church. But sometimes, especially a week like this, it's not about entertainment. It's about getting right with God. And we need to be receptive. And this church at Berea, they receive the word, the Bible says. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind. Look at 1 Thessalonians in your notes there, 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God that ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Bible says that they had a readiness of mind. They were receptive in their minds. They were, secondly, ready in their mind. Notice that phrase there in verse 11. They received the word with readiness of mind. Now, I'm not an expert on baseball, but to me, maybe other than the pitcher, I think the most important guy out there is the catcher. Man, that guy, he has to kind of run the game. Sometimes he has to get up from his position and he has to go out and talk to the pitcher even, kind of calm him down and he'll see certain things and so forth. Sometimes he'll send a signal to the pitcher. And the catcher, I'm always impressed with them because, listen, they have got to be ready all the time. And I don't know how many any of you a catcher when you're in Little League or high school or something like that. I'm telling you right now, that's a gutsy position. And one thing about the catcher, he's got to be ready all the time. He might get hit in the head with a bat. He might have a guy like me pitching who can't quite get across the plate. He's got to go high or low. He's got to be ready. And I'm saying this. We ought to have a spirit that says, as we approach the preaching this week, well, I don't know what is going to be thrown my way, but I'm ready to catch it. I want to catch it. I don't want to let it get by me. I don't want to let it get over me or under me. I want to catch the word of God this week. With readiness of mind, I want to hear what God's word says. That's the spirit, an eagerness, a willing listener. Oh, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And it's a difficult day. You have TV, and you have hell's box office, HBO. Like a cancer in your home. And all of the things that just kind of call out to us. And so we have all these things that inundate our thoughts and our minds and the political season and all these things going on. And yet somehow this week we've got to turn that off. And we've got to say, like a deer wanting the water, I want my God this week. George Mueller said the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our lives and in our thoughts. And the scriptures say in verse 11, they received the word with readiness of mind. Notice what else it says. And they searched the scriptures daily. The word search means in a forensic sense of a judge to hold an investigation. I mean, look, Sunday school class is more than a donut and a howdy. Church time is fellowship for sure. But we need to come in and with a forensic spirit as a judge, study the scriptures and search the scriptures and determine to execute the scriptures with our lives. And so here we see a reliable man, the Apostle Paul. He was reliable. You knew what he was going to do when he went to Thessalonica, when he went to Berea. And I'm saying you ought to be the kind of daddy that your children know you're going to be home on time. You ought to be a reliable husband that your wife knows you're going to be faithful to her tomorrow. You ought to be a reliable Sunday school student, a reliable servant of God in the church. We ought to be reliable in our tithes and offerings this year. Amen. Say, well, we're having a recession. Defy the recession by faith and trust in God. Amen. I refuse to let this world's culture, this world's economy dictate every step of the house of God. We are here to follow the marching orders of Almighty God. Amen. Be a man that is reliable and predictable. So oftentimes we have to remind this one to make a visit, remind that one to come to Sunday school, remind this one to do this or that. And I'm saying when you get rooted and grounded in Christ, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit begins to remind you of what you need to do. Be reliable, a reliable man in your home, reliable man in the church, reliable man in your witness. Be receptive to the Word of God. Brother Getch ought to feel like there's just immediate desire to hear the Word of God. I'm not trying to prime the pump for the altar call, but this is my opinion. There's not a man here right now who doesn't need to come forward this week. Ninety percent of you struggle with pornography. Many of you who are married have difficulty. Some of you with teenage children, some of our daddies are just giving up. You need to get locked back into the battle for your children. Say, well, I don't appreciate being told I need to come to the altar. All right, I'll ask your wife if you need to come. I know at our church we wear ties and shirts, and if you don't have a tie, I'm not upset at all about that. I know that you look good from the outside. I've been here 25 years, though. I've had to bail more than one in this room out of jail. I'm saying it's time to get rooted and grounded in Christ for some of you. You say, well, if I fall off the wagon, will you still love me? How many of you have been here a little while to know that I'll still love you? Amen. That's not the question. And God loves you more than I do by a pavilion, babillions and billions. But the question is it going to get real with you this year? Are you going to be receiving the Word of God? And oh, how we need this with men today. Men who are reliable, men who are receptive to the Word of God. Reading the Scriptures, have a little notebook, writing down what you're learning and growing in the Word of God and learning the terms. I'm glad Dr. Getz spoke about propitiation today. There's been a movement for 25 years in America where pastors have held seminars basically dumbing down church. They've been saying, you can't say propitiation. You don't want to get too heavy. You don't want to ask for too much. You just kind of want to, in the seeker mega church movement, you just want to kind of rock and roll everybody, and you just want to have a laid back time. And if they'll show up, maybe give a little money once in a while, just let them live however they want to live. Well, I want to tell you something. I happen to believe that coming to church and opening the Bible ought to change the way we live 7 days a week. We're not here to do a little ditty on Sunday. We're here to see God on Sunday. We're here to have revival today. We're here to get right with God and to live differently tomorrow because we were here today. I have not bought into this little have a little playtime on Sunday type of church mentality. This is a serious thing. It's so vital that we are reliable men. And I want to be a reliable pastor. Sometimes, perhaps I maybe haven't met your expectations. Sometimes I don't reach my own expectations. But to the best of my ability, I want to be a reliable man. I want our church family to know that this pulpit's going to stay hot. And I want you to know I opened the prayer book this week and prayed for you and most every man in this room by name. I want to be a reliable pastor, a prayer partner, a student of the Word of God, a preacher of the Word of God, a shepherd of the flock. But every one of us ought to say, in what I need to do in my life, I want to be a reliable man. I want to be a receptive man. I listened this morning to the message, not for you, for me. I'm listening tonight for me first. Now, I'm a pastor, and I sometimes think, oh, I hope that helps some guys, and hope that helps this one, but I'm wanting it for me. I want to be receptive. I want you to see, thirdly, the third type of man we need: reliable, receptive, and thirdly, resilient. Verse 13 tells us that when Paul went to Thessalonica, when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also. And what does it say? They stirred up the people. They stirred up the people. Now, I want you to see that whenever you decide to stand for God, to be reliable, whenever you decide to be receptive, when you decide that you're going to be more than a church member, when you decide to really be a man of God, there will be resistance. Sometimes it's from your flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to go to church or pray or read the Bible. Sometimes it's from perhaps a wife who's not right with God. Sometimes it's perhaps from a Christian friend who's backslidden. It can come from a million places. But there comes challenge to what we're trying to do for God. And I want you to see, Paul was resilient when persecuted. Paul realized that man's disappointments are many times God's divine appointments. And the scriptures say, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you're going to be a man of God at work, if you're going to be a man of God at home, there's going to be some difficulty. I told my wife this morning, I said, honey, and don't ask your wives about this, but I said, honey, tell the ladies that are married to encourage their husbands this week. Some of you guys are new. Let me just tell you, the devil hates revival meetings. He'll try to get husbands and wives fighting during this week. He'll try to get you to run out of gas. He'll try to get your battery to go dead. He'll try to, you know, it's terrible to come to the revival like this with your wife. I said, honey, tell the wives to be nice to these guys this week, to make them a sandwich before church or something, to work with them, to try to help them. But maybe you don't have a wife like that. Some of you, your wife's not saved yet. But you still need to be reliable. You still need to be the man that God has called you to be. And yet when the trials come and the persecution comes, we want to be resilient in that time. We want to be faithful because, listen, the devil wants to kick us out like a tumbleweed. And he wants you to blow from here to Yano to Barstow to Vegas and beyond. He doesn't want you rooted and grounded in church this week. And sometimes trials will come. And I don't feel like I've had that great of an amount of trials in my life. But you know, I'm not the 24-year-old man that came here to start preaching 26 years ago. With a little few more years under my belt, I can say, by the grace of God, He's allowed me to be faithful. And I can tell you that I know what it is like to stand up and preach in physical pain. I know what it is like when you perhaps like just roll over in bed because you're not well and still to get up and preach in the house of God. And I know what it is like when you've had maybe someone say or do something that hurts you so deeply all you can do is weep through the night and then to get up with a broken heart and preach the Word of God. I've had times when even preachers who should be happy the church is growing are jealous and are unkind and it's broken my heart. But I've still stood up and preached what God told me to preach. I had a moment not long ago, some years back, when my office was up here when just before church I received the death threat that if we kept preaching what we were preaching on certain issues, that they would take my life and they named my children and sent the facts. And I saw the facts, and some of you men were here, and I walked out that night and I still preached the Word of God. I'm not saying I'm the greatest Christian, but I'm not telling you to do something that I'm not trying to do. And I'm sorry that you get a runny nose, and I'm sorry that you work in Los Angeles, and I'm sorry that your wife isn't always nice to you. But that's not your excuse to check out. That's why you need to get rooted in Christ, so that when the trials come, you'll still tithe and you'll still attend and you'll still be a faithful man of God. Amen. You can reason away anything if you want to. All of us could rationalize. But rooted men through Christ find a way. I'm not saying it's easy. I pray for our commuters. When I pray for you men, sometimes I just stop and say, Lord, I don't know who they work with, but I pray they can have a testimony in that culture where they work. I pray for your finances. I pray for our businessmen. But we have got to come past this idea, well, America is going to hell in a handbasket and the economy's bad, and so, you know, I'll go to church, but this is not the time to move forward. Says who? With God, all things are possible. Amen. Rooted and grounded in Christ. We need to be resilient when we're persecuted. Get back up. Keep preaching the Word of God. And then I see here Paul, the apostle, was resilient to preach. You look at verse 16. He goes from Berea. He goes on to Athens. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. When my son Larry was going through chemotherapy, I remember going to his bedside one day, and Dr. Gibbs said to me, he said, Pastor, maybe you could tell Larry, is there something you'd like to do when this chemotherapy is over, and something you could look forward to and get him something that he could have on his mind and look forward to? And I thought that was a good idea. And I went to his bed and I said, son, I said, just so you can kind of keep your mind busy during this time, is there some place you'd maybe like to go in a year or so, or something that you'd like to do? Anything. Something that maybe you could look forward to. Maybe you could plan out a little book about it or something. And he didn't even hesitate. He looked at me, he said, I'd like to go to Athens. Athens? I was thinking like Colorado, you know, Barstow. And he said, you know, Dad, I've really been studying a lot about Paul at Mars Hill. He said, I don't know if that could ever work out. Well, he could have said to me on that particular day, he could have said, I'd like to go to the moon or Mars, or, and I would have been calling NASA. And I went to work on it, and the Lord allowed us to go, and we began to study. And I love this verse that says, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. Some of you men, that used to happen to you. You used to see your fellow workers as lost and going to hell. You used to want a better marriage. You used to think in terms of, I need revival. You'd see the steel going up on a building at church, go, man, that's awesome what God's doing. I mean, if anyone could have not been stirred anymore, it would have been Paul. After several beatings, I think all of us would give him a pass and say, Paul, you've had enough beatings. You don't have to be stirred anymore. Just stay lethargic. But not Paul. You see, when he was there at Athens, standing on Mars Hill, and no doubt looking up at that Acropolis, he began to realize that there was a tremendous spiritual need in that place. And as he began to look at the false houses of worship, and as he began to see the city, verse 16, wholly given over to idolatry, he was stirred. Now, why do men get stirred? Listen very carefully. They get stirred because they're rooted. If you're rooted in Christ, you see the world differently. When you become unrooted, when you become disheveled, when you become a man that's not where you once were spiritually, you don't feel as deeply about lost people. You don't feel as deeply about your family. You don't feel as deeply about the local church. But Paul, in evidence to his rootedness, he was stirred up when he saw the city wholly given over to idolatry. And he, from that hill right there, began to preach, "You men are too superstitious." And he began to preach to them the Lord Jesus Christ. He was stirred in his heart. And I'm saying, some of you ought to pray during this revival meeting, "God, stir up my heart. Make me a reliable man this year. Make me a receptive man, receiving the word and searching it out. Make me a resilient man, because the devil's going to fight this. But Lord, help me not to fall over. Help me to still get stirred up." Now, I don't know all of you real well. Most of you I know fairly well. Some of you very well. Some of you might be like Captain Schettino. You laughed today. A week ago, it wouldn't have meant a thing to you. A week ago, his life wasn't shipwreck. And right now, yours isn't. I mean, from all outward appearances here, you don't get the Costa Concordia and 4,000 people of responsibility because you're stupid. But something happened. And I've seen something happen in men's lives for 25 years. I've seen great things happen where guys continually stay stirred and teach their class or bring their family to church or stay right with God and forgive and love and keep a good attitude. And that's God when that happens. And I've seen too many lives do this. Who would have ever thought that the Coast Guard would have to tell the captain, "There are people climbing down on a rope and ladder on the bow of the ship. Take a lifeboat and go back to the ship. Captain, go back to the ship." Who would have ever thought the Coast Guard would have to say, "Tell us if there are women and children there." The captain said, "But do you realize it's dark and we can't see anything?" And the men of the church say, "Do you realize it's a recession and it's hard to have a testimony today? And my wife is not friendly. And I'm a commuter." And the Coast Guard says, "But it's time to serve God. There are people in the water. There's people still on the ship. Captain, go back to the ship." Who would have ever thought a captain would have to be told, "You've been telling me that for an hour. Now get back on board," the Coast Guard official said. Who would have ever thought that sometimes we have to say to men, "Come on, get back on board. Let's get on board. Let's get all in." You can laugh at Captain Schettino, but some of you are taking a good close look, maybe. I don't understand why a guy got into a lifeboat while hundreds were still on the ship. I don't understand why a guy went to the island and got in a cab and went to a hotel and asked the hotel for warm socks while people were drowning. I don't understand why Baptist men who are saved, supposedly, want to stay home on Sunday morning in their warm socks. Won't carry a gospel tract. Won't think about missions. There are people that need the Lord. I think, frankly, some of you men need to make a decision. You're either going to get rooted in Christ or you're going to be Captain Coward. You're either going to be the captain of the ship of your family and your life and following Jesus, of course. You're either going to stay on board or you're going to jump over with Captain Coward. Not being negative this morning, how many Baptist men today get more excited about the Super Bowl than the revival? Be honest with me. How many men who are Baptist men and Christian men have gone AWOL and jumped overboard, and the preachers like the Coast Guard are saying, come on back, we need you. Hey, your kids need you. Hey, listen, there's some missionaries that have a project. We're trying to get them help. Hey, look, we're trying to print some tracts. We're trying to go soul winning. Hey, America's going down quick. And Christian men are just looking for hotels with warm socks. And so I think it's time to get rooted. I think it's time. And you make the decision or not. But the destiny is determined by the decision or no decision. I want the ushers to pass out some cards. And here is my challenge to you today as we close. And we're going to be a minute late to church. But those of you that are in the next service, just help me with that. Come quickly, if you would, men, with this pledge. This is a pledge. And listen very carefully. I'm going to ask you to sign the pledge and turn it in with your name on it. You know what, stewardship, we have to be so cushy with you about money, because we don't want to offend weak people. So we say, you don't have to sign it. We won't contact you. We ought to say, sign it, and we're going to send guys over with guns blazing if you don't give it. But now, I'm just going to say, I'm going to ask you to agree to some Bible reading and faithfulness stuff here. If you don't want to sign it, you don't have to, and I won't contact you, and I won't keep track of. But those that sign it, I'm going to keep track of you, and I'm going to try to help you. And keep track in the sense of motivating with some emails and things like that. But don't sign it till I explain it to you. And I want everybody to get this very quickly. Who doesn't have it yet? Raise your hands. Okay, ushers, most guys don't have it. All in the center section doesn't. You're out. How could that be? Okay. Who's on staff in this room who has a key to a copier? All right, go make 500 copies of this thing real quick. Young man, go real quick and do that up in here. So I'm going to start explaining it. Run, son. Now I'm going to explain this, and then those of you that didn't get it, let me say this. Raise your hand if you didn't get the card yet. Now, if you were in the first service, keep your hand up. Okay, so those of you that were in the first service are going to have an extra minute to fill this out. Those that need to get to the next service, I'll get the cards to first. Now let's read this together, those that have it. I pledge to read my Bible daily, attend my adult Bible class fellowship, and here's the next part. Purchase and read 10 questions to diagnose your spiritual health, and attend the predetermined accountability meetings listed below. Now, first I'll mention the book. I read this book this last year, and I thought this is something I want our guys to read. And I want to read you the chapter titles. It's not a long book. How to assess your spiritual health. Here's the questions. Do I thirst for God? Am I being governed by God's word? Am I becoming more loving? Am I more sensitive to God's presence? Do I have a growing concern for the spiritual needs of others? Do I delight in the bride of Christ? Are the spiritual disciplines more important to me? Do I still grieve when I sin? Am I a quick forgiver? Do I look forward to being in heaven? Now, those 10 questions gripped my heart. And here's the thing. Normally, I give away things. If you've been a member of this church for 20 years, you probably have 80 books that I've given at men's leadership. We're not giving this to you. I feel like sometimes if you get something, you don't appreciate it. Now, I called the author. I think we got this for half off anyway, so it's whatever it is, $5, $10, I don't know. But I'm going to ask you to buy the book. There's several hundred of them in the back right now. Hopefully we don't run out. If we do, I'll have more here in a week. I don't really like where those tables are. I'd like in a minute some men to move them out in the foyer so there'll be more room for the men to get them. A part of what I'm asking you to do this year is to read the Bible every day, be in your adult Bible class, be faithful, and to read this book. And then there's five times on here. Wednesday, February 22nd at Men's Leadership. Saturday, March 3rd, we're going to have a prayer breakfast on Saturday. Saturday, May 26th, a prayer breakfast. Wednesday night, September 19th, a men's leadership, and November 7th, another men's leadership. Now, if you can't be at every men's leadership, by signing this, you'll at least touch base with your adult class teacher, and you'll at least say, I've read the two chapters. Because at each of those five times, if you sign this card, you're going to sit down with another man, and you're going to review those two chapters and what they meant to you and how it helped you. And what this is, it's an intentionally rooted men's fellowship. Say that with me. Intentionally rooted men's fellowship. There are six meetings, and this is the first one. There will be five more times when we take some time to just look at another man and say, how's your Bible reading? What can I pray with you about? What did you get out of those two chapters? How's that helping you to grow closer to the Lord? And I'm going to ask you, some of you guys have been here a long time, say, Pastor, I love you and you love me. But you know what? This year, it's got to be deeper than that. It's about getting rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. And so I want to challenge you with that, and I want to ask you to consider this. Now, do you find some more cards? Got a few more. Raise your hands if you didn't get the card. We got some more here. Is Brother Christensen in here? Okay, we ran out of cards, and so someone's getting some more. But we've got enough now. Okay, raise your hands if you didn't get the card. Now, here's the commitment. Read the Bible, attend the class, read the book, and then meet five times. And if you're not a part of the daily devotional, receiving the daily devotional by email, you'll check that. We'll sign you up tomorrow morning. And I know they came out late a few days this week. They should come out every night at midnight from now on. And I want you to pray about it. Now, look, if you're not ready to sign that, fold it up and put it in your Bible. I hope you will sign it. Put it in the offering tonight. But I'm going to ask you if you're willing to make that commitment, and I think you might agree that I think this is not a major commitment. This is pretty basic. I'm going to ask you to take that, to sign it, and if you don't have one, raise your hand if you still didn't get one. And then now I'm going to ask the ushers, if you would, to come up and be ready to collect those, and then we'll be on our way. I didn't have this meeting and give you this lesson to not give you this commitment. And I'm just saying this is the year to get rooted and grounded in Christ. Now, we have about 500 of those books out there. And if you want to take a minute, I'm only going to ask you this. If you're in the choir, I'm going to ask you in a minute to go to the choir. That's the only thing I'm going to ask. And those in the choir, we're going to have these books available in the lobby tonight as well. But those of you who don't have choir, you're on your way home now, you can stop by and get that book. Now, I didn't mean to take quite this much time. I want to have a little more time for prayer. We're going to do that. But right now, what I want to do is ask you, if you have your cards filled out, turn them into the middle now. Your name, your email, your adult Bible class. Ushers, just hold 1 second. Let them get to the middle first. Then you can go down and collect them. Men that are intentionally rooted in Christ. Not men that are wavering like a tumbleweed, but men that are intentionally this year getting rooted and grounded in Christ. All right, now, if you have those ready, let's just collect those. And I'll send you a confirmation email or letter that we got it and we're praying for you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time asking you if you read your book, but at those five meetings, we'll get together and we'll just say, okay, those of you that are reading the book, let's go get a partner right now. Let's take some time to discuss this and to pray and so forth. A couple prayer breakfasts. We'll have some pancakes and some eggs, and then we'll get together and talk about what we're learning and how we're getting closer to the Lord in 2012. You say, well, Pastor, you seem kind of passionate about it. If I wasn't, I shouldn't be a pastor. And I want you to be passionate this year about being rooted in Christ. Now, before we're dismissed, I realize the schedule. I'm going to ask the choir men in just a moment to step out and get to the choir. Then I'm going to ask those that aren't in the choir, if you would just do this one little thing. Take a minute with the guy next to you. And just take a moment in prayer. I don't know what you got out of this. Maybe to be more reliable. Maybe to be more receptive. Maybe to be more resilient. So we all need different things perhaps right now. But would you just take a moment and pray that God would help you to be rooted as a man of God this year? And that together we would be men. The scriptures say, quit ye like men. Stand fast in the faith. And that we would be men this year that please the Lord. And so choir, you're dismissed. Men, after you pray with a partner, you can be dismissed. Turn right now. Now be a man. Don't be bashful. Just turn to the guy next to you and say, hey, what's your name? Take a moment in prayer while the choir's being dismissed.